app.
Pop Culture Meltdown.
Episode number 4. It's Pop Culture Meltdown. Chris Libertini, across from me is Sweet Lou Pellegrino.
What's up, man?
The man, the myth, the legend.
Oh, stop it.
Louis I'm not... P.
Oh, no. Keep it coming.
Coming up on this episode of Pop Culture Meltdown, we have the great Sidney Rosenberg doing a little week 2 in the NFL, talking about that.
Yeah.
And then we're going to get right into it, buddy. I'm very, 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 very interested in something that has come out. It's been 25 years since The X-Files, and today we're going to talk about the one thing that matters most, and it's the Scully effect. First of all, the greatest theme music of all time.
You know what? I have to admit.
Come on.
I never watched the show.
You're killing me right
I now. Never watched the show. So this is going to be your area of expertise. I do know what the Scully effect is, mm-hmm. and I think it's really cool. Mm-hmm. I know some studies came out a couple of years ago, and I think it was revealed at Comic-Con back in, 2013 or something, in a panel that they talked about the Scully effect and how it was the driving force behind many women.
Mm-hmm.
Getting into the science field because of Gillian Anderson's character.
Mm-hmm. And it's amazing because they said it was first described by Gina Davis,
mm-hmm.
who is obviously, mm-hmm. what is her name in League of Their Own?
Dottie Henson. Come on, dude. You got to be quick.
Look
you have
Dottie
to be quick.
Dottie Henson with a 2-run home run.
She hit the cream cheese out of that ball.
But she never swung at the high ones.
No, that was your sister, Kit.
That was Kit.
But Kit's last name was Kit Keller because Dottie was married.
That's a very good point.
Come on now.
And
Lori Petty. I had the biggest crush on Lori Petty.
Tank girl. I play
obviously for the wrong team with Lori Petty, but I still love her as Kit Keller. She was hot on Booker, too.
Oh, smoke.
And I don't want to be the guy that's sitting here, oh, she was hot. But she was, I loved Lori Petty.
Smoking hot, short hair.
My teenage years with the short hair, punky, spiky, black hair,
mm-hmm.
and she had those long, low, I think she was kind of short next to Gina Davis, but on the TV show, I always remember her wearing like short mini dresses, tight-fitting mini dresses, and I just remember Lori Petty being, even as Kit Keller in The League of Their Own, she was just super, super cute. And then the badassery that she became in Tank Girl.
Mm-hmm.
Was another level.
Daddy-like.
It was very, very Gwen Stefani looking in
Tank
Girl.
Very much so, yeah. And, she, and you know, but looking at all the strong women, I love seeing strong women. I love seeing confident women. I think it's
I'm married
sexy.
To one.
Yeah, there you go. I think it's so sexy to be with somebody and, you know, or to even admire somebody from afar and just look at that person, no matter man or woman, obviously.
Sure.
Looking at a strong woman is really fantastic.
Yep.
But, you know, getting back to Dana Scully, when you look back at the 90s, they're quoted as saying, Scully was a woman who had not yet been depicted in TV. And as a result, that influenced the generation of women and girls to go into the field of science. And they hope that it send a message to storytellers to tell these stories because it does have a really positive effect on our society with watching these people. You know, look at the Black Panther.
Mm-hmm.
There's a kid, God knows where, in America looking at Black Panther going, dude, I could totally be a superhero right now.
Sure. But it doesn't even have to be somebody on a superhero, sci-fi
mm-hmm.
level. You look at some of the athletes. I mean, look, even whether you agree with it or not, and I don't want to make this political, but someone out there is looking at Colin Kaepernick and some of these players who are taking a stand or taking a knee, and they're saying, you know what? I'm going to go out. I'm going to be an activist. I'm going to fight for the people who can't mm-hmm. speak or the people who have no voice. Or you look at somebody like a J.J. Watt and you see all the charitable work that he does.
Yeah,
and you
amazing.
say, you know what? Look at JJ. He obviously has a great platform. He's obviously a world-class athlete and has the means to reach a lot of people. But how many people now see what JJ Watt does and says, you know what? I'm going to work in a soup kitchen, or I'm going to go here, or I'm going to make a donation to a legit charity
yep.
where I know where my money's going and it's going to help people. And, you know, to another degree, look at all of the people that are foster parents for children, foster parents for dogs, mm-hmm. trying to help children, mm-hmm. you know, find the proper home, and animals trying to find their forever home. I mean, there are people that do a lot of charitable things. So the whole Scully effect, I think it's amazing. And when you see a movie, you know, like, and I'm drawing a blank on the name, but it's the African-American women who worked at NASA.
Lou, the name of that movie is called Hidden figures.
Okay.
And the cool thing about that they're stating is that, so now this is a whole generation of people putting out movies with strong women characters.
Sure.
There's Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman.
Absolutely.
There's Gillian Anderson as X-Files, as Scully.
Yep.
And what they're saying is having a female role model can also help normalize women for younger guys. So they're growing up, a guy is growing up, a little 10-year-old boy, and he's seeing a strong woman figure in Wonder Woman and Gillian Anderson in X-Files, and that kid now doesn't have a bias in his head,
right,
where only men can be superheroes, only guys can do this, only guys can do that. But also, I think it's such a great thing to just, you know, it gets rid of that. It gets rid of the blinders. It gets rid of the social norms that are out there.
Right. And one thing that I'm really, really happy with, like I said, I'm married to a very strong, very independent woman. And the look on her face when we just watched the Ruth Bader Ginsburg documentary. Mm-hmm. And again, don't want to make this political, but there were tears in her eyes because she sees the fight that Ruth Bader Ginsburg had mm-hmm. to help women, but also help men as well. There were a couple of cases along the way where she was very, very important and vital in helping men get certain rights. But when it brings a tear to a strong woman like my wife's eye, it's very, the proper word,
moving.
It's moving, but mm-hmm. You become very prideful because I see my wife thinking, wow, she's not emotional because she's upset. She's emotional because this means a lot to her. Mm-hmm. This struck a chord mm-hmm. and moved her.
Yep. I love on SNL, they put Ginsburg and they go, you got Ginsburged.
Oh, it's the best. It's the best.
They definitely have a funny thing that they do.
And again, I love Kate McKinnon. Unfortunately, she wouldn't give me a second look.
Kate McKinnon, very good looking woman. Again, another strong woman.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And she is absolutely fantastic. But it's like, she's insane. She's so funny. She's very like Gilda Radner-y, in my opinion.
Yeah, very. That's a very, very good comparison. And I think she would be honored if she heard that. But now here's what I have to ask you.
Yeah.
Give me your elevator pitch, okay? Uh-huh. I'm getting off. We're at the ground floor. I'm getting off at the second floor.
Uh-huh.
Why should I watch X-Files?
Oh, my God. One of the most...
Ding! Doors closing.
Let me tell you about X-Files. It's one of the most fascinating watches I've ever watched in my life. It is 12 to 13 seasons, taking this man, Fox Mulder. His sister got abducted by aliens, and his father was working
first floor
to try and figure out who, you know, kidnapped his daughter. So it's one man's search for his sister.
Ding, and doors closing.
Literally, government conspiracies and anything batshit crazy that could possibly ever happen.
Second,
it's a great watch.
Floor.
Great watch.
Okay,
enjoy it.
I'll give it a try.
It's on Netflix.
I will. I think Victoria started watching it. I really think at one point she started watching it. For those of you who don't know, Victoria is my wife. When you hear me reference Victoria, that is who I'm talking about. But I think Victoria started to watch it, and I just, you know what? It's weird. You're going to be so embarrassed. I can't believe I'm hosting or co-hosting a podcast on pop culture when I tell you about the shows that I have not watched.
Well, it's okay. Well, this is a safe space.
Game of Thrones.
Right.
Breaking Bad.
Right.
The Sopranos.
Right.
Sons of Anarchy.
Well, you gotta watch Sopranos.
I know enough about it.
Maybe the other ones you don't really have to watch.
I do have to catch up, but the thing is, here's the thing, okay? And this mm-hmm. is my excuse, and it's a very legitimate excuse. Yes, I have a DVR player. Yes, I could very easily have scheduled all of my DVRs to record these shows. Unfortunately, when these shows first started, I did not have DVR,
mm-hmm.
okay? And then, you know this, I was producing a very successful late-night sports show mm-hmm. on Sirius XM with a very, 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 very big talent in Scott Farrell, who I love dearly. And I was in the studio when these shows were on. And on Sundays, I was watching football, so I did not want to watch The Sopranos when the NFL was going on. Mm-hmm. By the time I realized, hey, you know, you really should check up on these shows,
like
check out these shows.
Yeah.
You're five seasons in. When do I have time to binge watch? And now you're dating, you're engaged, you're married. What if the person that you're with doesn't want to watch these shows? Mm-hmm. So it's tough for that tug of war. Victoria has no interest in Game of Thrones. Her brother and her sister, our sister-in-law, is very big into Game of Thrones.
It's pretty tremendous once you put the time into it.
Right.
It's like Lost. You watch the
I never watched that show either. Well, that's another one.
It's a whole thing. It's just a matter of watching something for 5 or 6 seasons, putting your time into it, and getting it out.
There has to be a day or a week or a month either where...
You need a good stomach flu, Lou.
Right. Good luck with that. I don't get sick for whatever reason, but... You know, I just think that if I do have the time, and I would love, you know what, people, if you're out there subscribing and leaving us reviews and ratings, give us a 5-star, 4, whatever you think we deserve, give it to us. But also, in the comments section, when you leave a review, give me the shows that you think I should catch up on. Out of the shows that I just said that I haven't watched, Breaking Bad, Sons of Anarchy, The Sopranos, The Wire, Game of Thrones, let me know. Now, obviously, I'm not going to watch all of them, but give whoever wins the vote, I'll start.
You can hit us up on Instagram at PopCultureMeltdown, or you can email us at PopCultureMeltdown@gmail.com. Bringing it back to the Scully effect, they're talking about all the characters, the images, and the storylines in media shape our everyday lives in profound ways. Gillian Anderson says that Scully's character manifested a woman not yet depicted on TV, and as the fan response soon proved, they desperately needed a role model for women. And this was that role model.
I don't remember a character on TV.
Exactly correct.
Being that. Right. Everyone was the Kelly Bundys of the world.
Think about this way. We grew up on...
Yeah, Catherine Bach, Daisy Dukes.
Daisy Dukes. So what was she famous for?
Her shorts.
Her shorts!
Yep. But she also kicked ass.
She did kick ass. She beat up Rufus a couple times.
Rufus. You mean Roscoe P. Coltrane? Right, but you know the thing is, if you think about shows from the 80s, okay, the female characters, some of them played second fiddle. Alice is one of the only shows that I could remember where it was a female-dominated cast,
where
it was the waitresses in Mel's Diner, right? Mm-hmm. Three's Company, it was kind of even, but, you know, Joyce DeWitt, Janet and Chrissy, and you know, the other females, Terry that they brought in, Terry was a nurse, very, you know, solid in her in her career. Janet, I think, worked in a flower shop, but, you know, they were prominent roles and characters. It wasn't like they were taking a back seat. Yep. To John Ritter. I thought they all, you know, shared the spotlight equally. But it wasn't like, you know, watching L.A. Law, where you had Susan Day, who was a significant and talented lawyer. Susan Rattan was on that show. There was a bunch of others. You know, Knott's Landing, Dallas, they were powerful women, but they were always married to the powerful men.
Yeah, you look at Murphy Brown.
Murphy Brown was one of those first shows. Right, you know, exactly.
But this is around the time after Murphy Brown ended, this started up. Even Law and Order. Mariska Hargitay.
All the
amazing, you know, they had the DA, the blonde. I forget her name.
I can't remember her name.
But she was tremendous.
I know you're talking about.
And she was equal parts super, super obviously talented actress, but super, super sexy and super, super smart. And she played it perfectly.
Sure.
And it was just amazing to watch. And I think that gives girls, you know, women, growing up, like for in our generation, hey, I could do this.
Yeah. It was nice. It's nice to see that more people wanted to grow up to be Gillian Anderson's character, Scully, Dana Scully, or a Murphy Brown, rather than, and this is no knock on the TV show, you know, but being Phoebe Buffay from Friends.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And Lisa Kudrow played a great character. I found her quite annoying, so she was doing her job.
Right.
And
Smelly Cat.
Exactly. But I just feel like, you know, this is definitely something that's amazing, and the fact that so many women went into science. And if you think about it, on the tail end of X-Files, then the show Bones comes out, and now you have
what's that other show? Grey's Anatomy.
Right, of course.
And, you know, Dr. Grey.
But Bones, another scientist, a forensic scientist, I believe.
Forensic scientist, yep.
You know, and I think that was, oh God, I can't remember. Is it Zoe Deschanel's sister?
I thought it was Carrie Russell, but I'm wrong on that.
No, that's Felicity. I think you're getting that a little confused.
She's in the new Star Wars, too.
I forgot her name, but Zoe Deschanel's sister is, I believe, the co-star of Bones. It's David Boreanaz and... oh God, I'm killing myself.
No big deal.
But she's Zoe's sister.
But people wanted to grow up to be to be Bones, to be her, to be these strong women role models. And you know who we wanted to grow up to be when we were younger?
Deschanel.
Emily Deschanel. Do you know who we wanted to grow up to be when we were younger? We wanted to be Sid Rosenberg talking about week two of the NFL. What do you think about that, Louie?
Yeah.
All right, here's Sid Rosenberg talking about week two in the NFL. Go, Sidney! Ladies and gentlemen, Sid Rosenberg is on the show. He's in the weekly segment, and he recently started the show called Sid Sports Sunday. It's on WABC. You're on WABC on Bernie and Sid in the Morning every weekday morning. You're kind of a big deal.
What's up, Sid?
I'm a very, very busy guy. I'm very, very, very famous, beloved and revered by millions and millions and millions.
Yet you took the time out to be on this podcast and let us know what's going on in the NFL. So I want to ask you.
Okay.
Right? I want to ask you something.
All righty.
Give me your first impressions, week one, of the Jets and the Giants, Barkley and Darnold, too.
Well, they were both great, right? I mean, Barkley broke one for a 68-yard touchdown. Now, look, the rest of the day, the other 17 carries weren't great at a couple of decent runs. But
yep.
Fact is, the kid amassed over 100 yards, averaged about 5 yards per carry. In fact, one of the things I thought after the Giant loss to Jacksonville was they probably should have used him more, given the football more often. No disrespect to OBJ, he caught 11 passes and Eli Manning, but Barkley showed the explosiveness on that nearly 70-yard touchdown run. As for the Jet kid, that was the performance of the week. I mean, how many kids go out there their first game, the youngest quarterback ever, by the way, starts on Monday Night Football, you talk about pressure, throws a pick six.
On the first play.
On his first play, he's got to be thinking, holy shit.
And every fan went oh
right.
My God.
Here we go again,
yes,
right?
Exactly.
Here we go again.
Yep.
And then to come back, and after that one pass, play the type of game. Now, he was aided by a vicious defense. Mm-hmm. They picked off the Lion quarterbacks five times.
Five times, yeah.
Darren Lee had a touchdown, in fact. Mm-hmm. The Jet defense was smothering all night. Mm-hmm. But the Jets scored 31 unanswered in the third quarter. The kid played great football. Beautiful touchdown pass to Anderson, threw two on the night. Mm-hmm. So I would say this. If you're a Giant fan, I'd be excited about Barkley, but I'd be very concerned again about the season. If I'm a Jet fan, after consecutive 5-11 years, there's a lot of room for optimism.
So to sum it up, bet the Jets!
Bet the Jets. Take the Jets every opportunity. Take the Jets.
Love it.
All right, Sidney, I saw you and your buddy Bernard on the street yesterday, and I asked you this question, and I have to ask you again because I want our listeners to get your take on this. Is Eric Flowers arguably the worst player to ever come out of the University of Miami?
He may be. I mean, the Giants, I remember Chris and Lou hosting an event a couple years ago at Giant Stadium. The three consecutive years I hosted the draft day party.
Uh-huh.
I was actually the guy that was at Giant Stadium when the Giants traded to San Diego. They picked up Eli Manning. And I got a phone call that Archie Manning and Eli were on the way to the stadium the day he got drafted.
Amazing.
They actually made the trip from the Marriott Marquis to Giant Stadium. There were about 5,000 Giant faithful there that day. And I introduced Eli Manning to the crowd at Giant Stadium for the first time ever.
That's cool.
In the middle of those years, the Giants drafted a defensive lineman out of Miami. Very excited about him. His name was William Joseph. And he sucked too. Interior defensive lineman. Now you have an interior offensive lineman. This guy's really bad though. I mean, for years, this guy had the most important position on the line, protecting Eli Manning's blind side, the left tackle. He was a disaster. They go out, they get Nate Solder from the Pats to play left tackle. They try to hide Eric Flowers at right tackle, and it takes them all of one play this new season to actually F things up. And he went out to have a brutal game the rest of the way. So it's fair to say at this point, maybe not just the worst player out of Miami, but one of the very worst first-round draft choices in the history of the Giant organization.
And
he sucks.
And you're only as strong as your weakest link, you know, and they're always going to get exploited. Always.
Yeah, no doubt.
Link,
and Jacksonville knew that, and they had a field day with this kid, and actually the Giants were lucky to be in a position to win the game with one touchdown inside the fourth quarter with a guy like Flowers playing the offensive line.
Sidney, I love you. You know and I know the Metropolitans are very familiar and near and dear to our hearts.
Absolutely.
With former pitcher Pat Mahomes, what about his kid?
I think that Mahomes kid is really good.
He looked pretty good for the Chiefs on Sunday.
He is going to be so good, Chris. Look, Alex Smith had some very good years in Kansas City.
Yep.
There's a reason why Alex Smith is now the quarterback of the Washington Redskins. Mm-hmm. They were ready to move on. You know, you talk about these young kids coming out. Mahomes didn't start last year. He sat behind Alex. But coming out of college, this kid in college was a touchdown on every possession. He was a monster. And yes, right away last week, Hill especially, this guy Hill has a rocket up his ass for Kansas City. You know, Mahomes hit him early, touchdown. This guy, Mahomes, I think, may be the most unheralded, a better young quarterback in football. You know, we talk about the first rounders a lot, obviously. Guys this year, Sam Darnold, Josh Allen saw action last week for Buffalo. Out in Arizona, they got the other kid, Josh Rosen.
Yep.
You know, Lamar Jackson, both. A lot of first rounders this year. But Pat Mahomes, taken last year by Kansas City, may be the best of the bunch.
I like it because all these guys, they have arms. They're all quarterbacks.
Well,
they're all literal.
We all have two arms, of course.
No. But I mean, literal. They have a throwing arm.
Football arms. Oh,
football,
I got you.
Throwing arms.
Right.
Some people are lucky to have two arms. But I'm just saying, these guys' arms, they do nice work. Let's talk one more time. Any other week one impressions? Talk about Khalil Mack. Give me a little Aaron Rodgers. By the way, those eyes looked a little glassy.
They did.
A little glassy.
They did, but he did it. You know, listen, he really got hurt, and he came back like only a few can, including Aaron, won the game.
That was unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Khalil Mack was terrific, and I got to tell you, with the Raiders looking lousy against the Rams on Monday night, the return of John Gruden, and Gruden was pissed because he could have used Khalil Mack when the Rams were rolling up points in the second half.
Yep.
I look at Baltimore. You know, they got the Bengals coming up Thursday night this week. You know, Joe Flacco is a real good quarterback. He won a Super Bowl a couple of years ago. He's already got a good defense with John Harbaugh. They have added two or three major weapons on the outside. When Flacco's had good wide receivers, he's won a lot of football games.
Yeah.
So I don't think that they're as good as they looked last Sunday, because the Buffalo Bills may be the worst team in football, but they could be the best team in the AFC North. And that says a lot, because you've got the Pittsburgh Steelers inside that division. So to me, the Baltimore Ravens may be a team, and you just talked about them, Kansas City, with Pat Mahomes. I think people were giving the Chargers the AFC West. I would take a long look at Kansas City in that offense. Those are the two teams that impressed me the most on the AFC side. And inside the NFC, look, the Rams are very, very good. Falcons lost two of their best defensive players. That's an issue.
What about the Falcons in the red zone? Not so much.
You know, same thing every year, especially against the Eagles. Can Julius Jones catch one?
But let's talk about the Eagles for 2 seconds. They're my team. We didn't get a chance to talk about this week one. They're my team.
Oh, here we go with the Eagles talk.
They finally won it last year. Everybody hates us, the whole thing. Now this year, Nick Foles looks like he hasn't been on a football field ever. And then all of a sudden, second quarter, he's like, let me start playing some football. They do another Philly special, and they win the game because the Falcons, not so much in the red zone.
Well, and the Philly defense is very good down there, too. You got to give them some credit.
Mm-hmm.
And a full season, like I talked about on my show, of Jay Ajayi, it's going to help them tremendously. Two more touchdowns last Thursday night. I watched them in Miami for years. I was down there.
The fumble almost killed me. You saw the
way
he went
fumble
over
almost
the live.
Killed
I was
him.
Like, oh, my God, oh, my
it
God.
It did. But he's going to help them. Look, the Eagles won that game without their best wide receiver.
Oh, yeah.
He was out, obviously, Alshon Jeffrey.
Or their best quarterback.
Right. So, you know, they were pretty banged up and still won the game. So, Eagles are still a very, very good football team. And I think the teams that we thought would be good inside the NFC, the Eagles, the Rams, maybe to a certain extent Carolina, those teams all won. They all look good. No surprises there. But in the AFC, I think teams like Baltimore and Kansas City may have opened some eyes.
So you could say, we are who they thought they were. We are who we thought they were.
I could say that, but Denny Green already said it, and I'd just be, at that point, it becomes plagiarism.
The Bears are who we thought they were.
Yes.
Very, very quickly, wrapping it up, talk to me about gambling lines. Who do you like? What would you be your top three plays for this Sunday?
You know, I really haven't taken a really good look yet, to be honest. It's too early in the week.
Totally understood.
You know, the Jets, I think, laying three against Miami is dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Miami's not very good. They got a win last week. They're much better with Tannehill at quarterback, but to expect the rookie quarterback against a pretty good Dolphin defense to be very good 2 weeks in a row, to me, this is going to be the big barometer for Donald. If he's good again, then I'll say, uh-oh, look out.
Right.
So I would lean towards the Dolphins plus the field goal. Giants started the week as a 5-point dog in Dallas. They're now getting 3. You don't want to say must-win second week of the season for both teams.
Yeah.
But neither the Cowboys or the Giants want to start the season 0-2.
Yeah.
So it kind of is a must-win.
But they do need it.
Giants are in a tough spot on the road in Dallas. And I think the Cowboys find a way to eke out a win. So I would take the home Dallas Cowboys. I'd lay the 3 against the Giants. I would lean towards the visiting Dolphins plus the points against the Jets.
Sid Rosenberg, You're amazing. You're
not
a dynamo.
Really.
You're famous. You're spectacular.
I need a shave.
The whole thing.
I don't know.
You're
My
gorgeous.
Back is killing me.
Look at you. You're beautiful, though.
Well, they can't see me on radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, the man is a gem. He's Thank a mensch. You. Sid Rosenberg, you're on Bernie and Sid in the Morning every weekday morning on WABC. And you also have this great new show, Sid Sports Sunday, which sounds spectacular.
Thank you. To steal a word from somebody else, 8 to 10 every Sunday. And if you're a real sports fan, one of those WFAN real geeks, you're going to love Sunday mornings on WABC.
Sid Rosenberg, you are the best. We will see you soon.
My man, Sid, always good to see you.
Thank you for the oral.
Let's go! Let's go! It's time to play!
Lou, is it Sunday yet? Because absolutely fantastic. Another great appearance by the one and only Sidney Rosenberg.
You know, it's so funny. Every time I hear his voice talking sport, it puts me on another level because I know he's got the great show with Bernie, and I know he loves talking his politics and news and current events, but when you hear Sidney talking sports, it's just...
It's spectacular.
It's to use his word, yes. I was just trying to find the right word, and that's exactly it. So it's great that we get to see him on a regular basis. I get to shoot the shit with my buddy and talk sports with him, and it's a lot of fun. So I look forward to his segments every week.
And it's also super cool. I mean, obviously, we're of the 30s. He's of the 50s. And it's cool to see the generations kind of, you know, cross-mingling. Like, stupid or weird, but it's like, you know, you've looked up to Sid for a while. I mean, the guy's on Imus in the Morning. He started this, doing sports betting back in the day. Legally, you know, we're not trying to get him in trouble. But, you know, he's like this guy that you've known about, heard about. And all of a sudden, now you have this, this access to him.
It's a lot of fun, especially when you're coming up through the ranks as a sports producer and you meet certain people and they don't forget you. And every time I see him, it's funny. I know it's Wayne Gretzky's nickname, but he calls me the Great One. And every time he sees me, there he is, the Great One. Lou Pellegrino, the Great One. What's going on, Lou? You know, and it's just, and that's a horrible impression of Sid. Sour Shoes. We have to get Sour Shoes on to talk a little bit about sports and imitate Sid. But, you know, it's definitely nice when you make a mark on someone and they make a mark on you. And Sid's one of my favorite people, and I'm so glad he's a part of this.
Agreed. He's definitely a talented dude, and we're happy to have him. Well, Lou, we've talked the Scully effect. We've done our X-Files talk. We've done our football talk. We threw in a little baseball with mentioning the Metropolitans for a hot minute and a half.
Yeah.
I say we've done our... as Howard Stern says, we've said it all.
True. We have.
We've said it all.
We have. I don't remember Howard ever saying that, but you listened a lot closer than I did.
At the end of every interview, when he's done with somebody, he'll go, well, Lou Pellegrino, we've said it all. Every single time. That was a little Alan Alda, a little Howard Sternish, but there you go.
They do sound alike.
Well, that's definitely. Thanks so much, Lou. We'll see you again next time on the next episode of Pop Culture Meltdown.
Shut up.
Pop Culture Meltdown.
If you'd like to email the show, email popculturemeltdown@gmail.com and find us on Instagram @popculturemeltdown. Catch Sid Rosenberg every weekday morning on Bernie and Sid in the Morning on 77 WABC. And follow on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram @SidRosenberg. The voice of Pop Culture Meltdown is Dan Kelly, voice talent and one of the best human beings on the planet. For bookings, go to DanKellyVO.com. Special thanks to myself, producer Laura Ponte, our graphic designer Ricky Soto, Tim Einstein with OG, and of course, the man, the myth, the legend, Chris Rudzki. This has been Pop Culture Meltdown with your hosts, Chris Libertini and Lou Pellegrino.
They are intelligent. They are smarter than the most up-to-date supercomputers. We cannot underestimate it.